Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Seth, just shifting gears for a second here off the Texans. Are you intrigued by Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy in a month or so? He's hosting Jeopardy for a week in April. You think he's auditioning for his next chapter in life here with this thing?
I don't. Is that what he's going to want to do? Be a game show host? I think it'll be good. I guess the guy that's doing it right now is awful. At least to hear it from people. I'd be curious from our listeners who are devout Jeopardy people. I know the guy that's doing it now is one of like the biggest champions of all time.
Yes.
Which is a far different. Look, I hate to break to everybody. Like Alex Trebek was not as smart as the guys that were actually competing. Like, that's not what made Alex Trebek good, was how good he would have been as a contestant at Jeopardy. Like, there are actual skills to being an announcer slash game host slash host, whatever. I think Trebek was a radio guy, was he not, before he went on that show?
He may have been. I'm not sure, Seth. Yeah. God rest his soul. It didn't stop him from acting. Like, he knew all the answers to those questions, though. Like,
I know, but that was part of the appeal.
He did. You know, he pulled it off. He pulled it off for sure. So Aaron Rodgers is going to host Jeopardy. I'm anxious to watch that.
Is this this fiancée of his, is she a notable actress? Has she been in big stuff?
Shailene Woodley. I have not seen her in things, but when I've seen people react to her.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't even know he had broken up with Danica Patrick. That's how closely I've been keeping up with Aaron Rodgers. But apparently,
you were saying that like 2 days after they had announced their engagement.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like they were pretty low-key about it.
They were.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers, and I only ask that, I'm not trying to throw shade at her or anything, quite the opposite, actually. I think Aaron Rodgers has been pretty cool. Like, he's gone out with celebrities, but it's never felt like a superficial thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's always felt like he's gone after a woman with some substance, or that, you know, Danica Patrick is a great athlete / competitor, or whatever you want to call race car drivers in her own right. So that part of it is impressive to me. It doesn't look like he's trying to be the it couple or anything like that.
She was in 6 episodes of The OC back in the day. She was in a few episodes of Crossing Jordan. Probably her most prominent work is she was a regular on The Secret Life of the American Teenager, which I've not watched, but I've when people talk about Shailene Woodley, they bring up that show a lot, and they bring it up fondly, the people that I've heard. But she was in 121 episodes of that. More recently, she was in 14 episodes of Big Little Lies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. She was in how many episodes of Big Little Lies?
14.
Okay. Yeah,
she was Jane Chapman in Big Little Lies. Why, have you watched Big Little Lies?
I watched the first season, okay. And then my wife couldn't recruit me to watch the second. Usually I'm a pretty good husband about going along with the shows that I don't like. I couldn't do it for that one. I can't do it for that one or Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
So those are the two that I boycott that my wife watches.
I guess the endearing thing about her is that she knows nothing about football, which if Aaron Rodgers is, if he's a Jeopardy enthusiast, he probably has outside interests and things like that. We know he's a smart guy. He went to Cal, blah, blah, blah. Here is Shailene Woodley was actually on Jimmy Fallon. So she's a big enough star to be on Jimmy Fallon. She was asked about being engaged to a football player, and she said, never thought I'd be married to someone who throws balls for a living.
I never thought I'd be engaged to somebody who threw balls for a living. Like, I never thought as a little girl, I was like, yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to marry someone who throws balls, yeah! But he's really just so good at it. And
he really knows how to throw a ball, yeah.
He can throw fastballs, he can throw slow balls, high balls, low balls. when I first met him, I think my dog like pulled me aside and was like, if you don't date this dude, I will disown you as my mother, because the 3 feet that I run with you when you throw a ball is nothing compared to the marathon I'm able to run with him.
Boy, how great would it be to be Aaron Rodgers' dog? Whew.
Better than Brett Favre's dog. Remember about that commercial where Brett Favre beans his dog with the football?
I forgot about that.
Favre selling a damn copper fit while committing animal abuse.
That's
right,
true.
Right there in front of us. Yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
I forgot about that. One more from Shailene Woodley. Not a big football fan.
I still have never been to a football game because we met during this wacky time and all the stadiums were closed that he was playing in. So I've yet to go to a football game, and before I met him, I'd never seen one football game before. I didn't really grow up with sports, especially American sports. It was never really on my radar, and when we met, also like I knew he was a football guy, but I didn't know like what kind of a football guy he was. And I'm still constantly learning. I'm still like, oh wow, you know, friends would be like, you got to watch his YouTube greatest, or you got, and I was like, I don't get it. He's good. He's great.
He's
like,
really
I don't understand.
All right. So Seth, I'm going to do the thing real quick that I like to do within the gambling realm, which is handicap the chances of this marriage surviving. I love to play that game. So does this marriage have a better chance or a worse chance of surviving because these two don't share any common interest in football?
At first I would have said it's a better chance, but something caught my ear in that last clip, and it's when she said that she didn't pay attention to American sports. Did I hear that right?
She didn't hear, and so
she's from California. Mm. I'm looking to see if she spent a lot of time overseas or something. Mm. She strikes me as she might be one of these people that needs to point out twice a month that, you know, in the rest of the world, football is actually soccer. That's what you call football is actually, or soccer is actually called football. You know, when they try to make that.
Sure.
That's not even that popular worldwide. I need to find out exactly what she meant by she didn't follow American sports.
That's disturbing.
But it seems like, this will work out. They'll be happy forever.
It
seems like Aaron Rodgers has done some work on himself. It seems like he's, you know, whatever issues he had with his family and all of those. He had an interview with Pat McAfee during the season, at the beginning of the season, where he said that he gained a perspective on things this last offseason. And some of it obviously probably had to do with the fact that the Packers traded up into the first round to draft his eventual replacement.
Well, he talked about how he dealt with that. 3 fingers of tequila, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's
tequila.
Right. Yeah.
He dealt with that the way I deal with a lot of things. 4 fingers
of
tequila.
Yeah, so I think these two kids are going to make it.
You do?
I don't know. Whatever that means in Hollywood.
Okay.
Like 20 years? You make it 20 years. That's pretty damn good.
All right. Text in 713-572-4610. Does having a spouse... If you're a sports fan, does having a spouse or significant other with no interest in sports make it a better or worse chance the relationship survives?
The opposite way. Well, American sports, Sean. Remember,
oh, sorry. American sports.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot the caveat.
That's the part. I don't know. That's gnawing at me. That's really gnawing at me. Okay, so Verlander and Upton, Kate Upton would be the opposite because she's a huge baseball fan.
Right.
So for Kate Upton and Justin Verlander, do you think it helps that she's a baseball fan?
Yeah, I do. I don't think these rules are hard and fast necessarily. You know that it's one way or the other. It clearly helps them. You know, it seems.
I think Verland is a bigger fan of her world than she is of his world.
How long
Verlander's kind of into the fashion and everything, and kind of likes that side of it. So it doesn't feel like a chore to him to have to go to Fashion Week or do anything like that.
How long have you and Brandy been married for?
20 years.
20 years.
So almost. This will be 20. Oh no! I'm sorry. 19.
So you've been in a successful marriage for nearly 2 decades. Is she a big? She's a big sports fan, right? Like she coaches sports.
Yeah, she's not a bigger sports fan than me. But she's better at sports, I guess. Like as far as because she's more.
That's impressive. You played in the NFL for 10 years.
Yeah. You know, she's just a much better natural overall athlete. Like I don't have good hand eye coordination. Like I was never a skilled player. Where she was a point guard and a shortstop and all that stuff. So I feel like she's better all around. Like if you're gonna go play in an intramural competition or something, or like you're drafting co-ed anything, you would want to draft my wife before you drafted me.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's wow.
Other than like for pure power, well, if it's a co-ed competition, that's like where you have to have men and women, draft Brandy before you draft me by far.
Really?
Because she will, even in the, like even for things involving strength and speed like that, amongst the women, she'll just dominate. And she used to come work out with us at Rice in the off season when a bunch of us would run stadiums and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was like, because she was in such good shape and she had very fast feet, she'd beat a lot of the guys on a lot of the drills. Very intimidating.
Were you kind of low-key humble bragging a little bit as your wife was schooling everybody in these drills? Were you like, yep, that's my wife right there?
Yeah, I was just turned on.
So you went home.
I'd have to run bent over. I'm over running 100-meter dashes bent over. Boy, it's hard to do.
Seth's running a 7.240 right now. He's really slow, and his posture is awful.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't let anybody work out at Rice anymore.
Yada, yada, yada. That's where we are. All right. Hey, speaking of posture, if you're trying to keep Deshaun Watson, yet another head-scratching move by the Houston Texans. It involves a player whose posture was under scrutiny this year. That's next. Here's Deshaun Watson. Right after the season ended, the Monday after the season ended in 2020, here's Deshaun Watson on Will Fuller.
You know, hopefully we can get him back. I'm definitely going to be on that, you know, with the organization and with him. I actually saw him before I came in today, and, you know, we sat and talked in the parking lot a little bit, so you know, we all on the same page and what we want to do, and hopefully we can get them back with Cobb and, you know, Brandon here, and, you know, get some other guys, some other pieces that help us out, and we can really take another step, especially offensively.
All right, so that was January 4th. Seth, a lot went down over the next 48 hours if you're a Houston Texan fan. That was the Monday after the season ended. By the end of the day on Tuesday, Nick Caserio was in Houston having been picked up in a private jet by Cal McNair. And by that night on January 5th, the very next day after that cut, Deshaun Watson had tweeted out, some things never change or something. Yeah. Yeah, I forget, something along those lines.
Well, and that's where, again, I hate to rehash this over and over again, but the story that has been told time and time again, which is that the Texans were going in one direction with a general manager search, and then all of a sudden it veered way off to the they were headed in one direction that didn't include Nick Caserio, and then all of a sudden after Jack Easterby abandoned the stadium where he was supposed to be having meetings with players individually, he went over to Cal McNair's house to meet with Cal McNair. Then all of a sudden they were off on a jet to meet Nick Caserio. That's what happened over the course of 24 hours. So however Deshaun interpreted all of that, however it felt like perhaps a betrayal for whatever reason, that's when everything all went sideways really, really fast.
It did. And Deshaun talking about Will Fuller there, you know, just the latest episode in things having gone sideways. To me, Seth, the latest episode in a team saying one thing, which is, hey, we want Deshaun Watson to be our quarterback, and then doing things that seem to run contrary to what Deshaun Watson would want done. Continued with news over the last 24 hours. Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle, the first that I saw report this, that the Texans appear to be ready to move on from Will Fuller and let him walk as opposed to using the franchise tag to bring Will Fuller back, or at least extend the period of time with which you can negotiate a long-term deal with Will Fuller. They seem to be content to let him walk and then get whatever compensatory pick they get in 2022 for him.
I keep trying to put myself in Nick Caserio's position, who, you know, at that point, I mean, when Caserio was talking to Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, would have no reason to believe that, as far as we know, would have no reason to believe that Deshaun Watson was about to completely lose his mind because all of this is what sparked it. Nick Caserio, what does he as a disinterested third party, let's call him that, like somebody that had nothing to do with any of the horrible moves that the Texans made over the last 2 years, when he steps in and he sees this roster, and let's say he learns, oh, okay, Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be here, how do you evaluate that? If it's all about the numbers, And one thing that these guys try to do, you can tell this part, they're trying to be Patriots South in this regard. When you talk about players as the player or by their numbers or what have you, I think part of that is that it helps you dehumanize players so that you can make business decisions about them. It's a good tactic, really is. I mean, ideally you would kind of abandon it when you're talking to the public or facing outward. But when you're talking amongst each other, it's good to try to separate some of your emotion from it by talking about the player, the quarterback, number four, all those things. So what does cold, analytical Nick Caserio think about this roster right now? And he might think, you know what? Whether you want to call it a reset, whether you want to call it a do-over, whatever it might be, it's you've got to clear the deck somehow. And that maybe if you got to spend aggressively, we don't want to spend aggressively on Will Fuller right now when we don't know if the quarterback's going to be here next year or not. And even if he is, the roster doesn't look like it's ready to compete. So we're on a two-year rebuild here. I'm guessing Caserio believes this is a two-year rebuild.
Yeah.
And in year one, it's not worth spending a bunch of money on an oft-injured wide receiver mm-hmm. who may or may not have his franchise quarterback.
I think taking it a step further, Seth, is there part of Nick Caserio that looks at the entirety of the situation, and while he's saying, I'll put air quotes around it, all the right things about wanting to bring back Deshaun Watson, is there part of Nick Caserio that looks at this overall thing and says, look, depending on what some of these trade packages, you know, is there a part of Nick Caserio that actually listened to the voicemail messages that are stacking up, hearing some of the offers they're getting and going?
You think he's sneaking in while Casario's out getting coffee? Well, he's like, I'm going to go listen to the messages.
Yeah.
Like, Jack won't let me have my phone, but right, I'm going to go listen to the messages.
Right, I'm going to listen to these and just see what's being offered. Is there part of Nick Caserio that's listening to these offers that are being left in the voicemails, figuratively maybe? And saying, whew, look, these are pretty good packages for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Is there part of Nick Caserio that's saying the better route back to being a prominent organization is taking the chance that we draft the next good quarterback, surround him quicker on a rookie deal with pieces that we have no chance of getting this year with Deshaun Watson? Is that the path that's faster back to prominence? And I guess here's how I put it, Seth, because I've heard people say this. Boy, you can tell the one thing Nick Caserio doesn't want to be is the guy that traded Deshaun Watson. Because yeah, the percentage chance of that being a successful endeavor, both from a Texans perspective and the perspective of Deshaun going on to win big somewhere else, boy, do you want to be the guy that traded Deshaun Watson? I would argue that there is one guy worse than that to be if you're Nick Caserio. It's the guy that waited too long to trade Deshaun Watson. Do you have to realize the inevitability of the situation that you're in and go, look, do I want to be the guy that traded Deshaun Watson, or do I want to be the guy that let this thing linger for a year and then trade Deshaun Watson when the value was 55% of what I could have gotten for him before the draft in 2021?
And that's where, honestly, what I hope, too, is that between the Texans analytics people and Nick Caserio's analytical brain, but also just his gut instinct, is you got to figure out, you know, there's a currency conversion on all of this. And there's a time value. There's an opportunity cost. There are a lot of economic terms when it comes to, okay, how much are you losing out on just by sitting around and not trading this year? Yeah, okay, you can get another great trade package in 2022, but then you're also, you've wasted a year of draft picks, clearing cap space. You're going to have to take a cap hit next year versus this year, all of that. Then there's also, you know, somebody brought this up. One of our listeners texted us yesterday and said, hey, I just read in an article that after June 1st, if you trade Deshaun Watson, you're actually going to save $10 million against the cap, versus if you trade him before June 1st, you're going to take a $6 million cap hit, a net loss of $6 million. So that's a $16 million swing. I don't think that that's enough to, if you're going to trade Deshaun Watson in the spring or summer, you don't let that $16 million be the factor. Because think about back when the Browns traded for Brock Osweiler. No. In essence, the Browns were actually paying $16 million to get a second-round pick.
That's right.
They were buying a second-round pick for $16 million because Osweiler was gone within months. So a first-round pick's worth way more than $16 million. And if the package is right before the draft, they're not going to let that June 1st that June 1st cap savings be a factor. I think they take the really good deal.
That's a good point. Someone texting in, why pay Fuller when you know Deshaun doesn't want to be here? Here's my point with franchise tagging Will Fuller, is that it could be an asset that you could trade to another team or that you could include as part of a trade with Deshaun Watson somewhere. It could be a sweetener to help you get more stuff from whatever team you trade Deshaun to. So don't look at the franchise tag necessarily for Fuller, which, by the way, if you're just tuning in, the Texans reportedly are not going to use it on Fuller. My contention had been I would franchise tag him to hold on to him as an asset to trade or include. Or if Deshaun does come back, then you've got Will Fuller here, who's his best receiver. So that's the thing. Don't just look at the franchise tag as a decision to bring Will Fuller back and pay him $16 million. It's more nuanced and a little more complicated than that. And then the texter goes on to say, and who knows, Isaiah Coulter might be a diamond in the rough. All right, that's where I know this is an Easterby burner account. Because that's, hey,
that's a little bit
Coulter
of,
might yeah. be a diamond in the rough.
You got to be really, really careful with that thinking. You can't depend on, hey, it could happen.
Right.
You know, because that's what the Texans did for 2 years. Hey, could David Johnson be as good as he was 4 years ago? It could happen.
That's what got us here.
Yeah, it just, when you start doing that, or it's one thing if you do it every now and then. It's like, you know what it is? It's the difference between like having a healthy lottery ticket buying habit and an extremely unhealthy one.
Yeah.
If you buy a lottery ticket every now and then because it's fun and because, hey, who knows, it could happen, then fine. If you're buying, like, if you're buying 10% of your salary's worth of lottery tickets every single week, you've got an unhealthy obsession with lottery tickets.
Amen.
The Texans were spending 75% of their salary on lottery tickets every single week. And you got what you end up with here. It could have, there was a sliver of a chance it would all work out. But if it didn't work out, it was going to be exactly what this was.
The Texans are that annoying person at the convenience store when you're there just trying to buy a bag of chips and a pack of gum and they're buying 100 scratch-offs. Yeah. And literally scratching them off while they're still standing there, like, dude, bro, come on, step aside. Can I buy my chips here, please? Like, that's who the Texans are.
It would be like saying, well, hey, Tom Brady was a sixth round pick, so you know what we
yes!
need to do? Trade back. We need to trade all our picks for sixth round picks.
Yes.
Nothing but sixth round picks. Because some point, hey, you're gonna hit.
Right.
Like, yeah, at some point you'll hit, like after you've bankrupted yourself with all these sixth round picks.
That needs to be their marketing slogan. The Houston Texans 2021. It could happen. It could happen.
You know what? I'd like to. I bet there is some analytical argument, though, for like trading back into having nothing but third round picks. If you're like, how many? You wouldn't be able to fit all of them on your roster, though. I think if you traded back all the time and had all these third round picks, it'd be hard to keep enough of the young prospects around while you're also trying to field the competitive.
Would you rather have three first round picks or half the third round?
Would you rather fight 10,000? Would you rather fight 100 duck sized men or fight 300 third round draft picks? I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, Houston, if you're an owner of a small business, if you work for a small business, you manage a small business, we know that times have been tough lately with the freeze last week, with the pandemic for the last year. If you're a small business and you're going through tough times, tell us your story. Email us smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com. It's smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com. We can give you a shout out on the air. It's the Sports Radio 610 Small Biz shout out. Tell us your story. Give us some detail. We want to give you a shout out. More importantly, we want to get our listeners hearing your story and then saying, you know what? They listen to 610 like I do. We're all part of a big community. Let's go support these guys. So we want to do that for you. The Small Biz shout out. smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com. Does Deshaun Watson have competition on the elite QB trade market? That's next. It's interesting, as we've talked about this week, and I thought Seth put it really good earlier this week, quarterbacks become sort of the new diva position in the NFL. It used to be wide receiver. Now the quarterbacks are the ones who are getting all up in their feelings during the offseason. And Russell Wilson, there was a piece on The Athletic yesterday done by two of the same three people that wrote the Deshaun Watson piece from earlier this week on The Athletic, Jason Jenks and Mike Sando. They worked with the Seahawks beat writer for The Athletic to put this piece together about Russell Wilson and some of the drama behind the scenes that was going on during the season and during this offseason with Russell Wilson. And look, Russell Wilson has said he wants to stay in Seattle. This was a tweet from Adam Schefter yesterday that he wants to stay in Seattle, but He would approve a trade to, and he lists four teams, the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, and the Bears are the four teams listed. Jason LaCanfora had a piece about this where he added the Jets and the Dolphins to that list. We'll get to those teams in just a second. What's interesting about this, Seth, to me, is the difference in the way the two teams are handling this, where you hear about Seattle and the national writers who cover the NFL talk about John Schneider, and they're like, yeah, he's taking phone calls when people are calling about Russell Wilson. Why wouldn't he? He listens to everything.
Which he's always done, right?
Yeah. And meanwhile, the Texans are reportedly letting the voicemail messages stack up in their inbox, and they're not even giving a hint that they want to trade Deshaun Watson at all. The reason I find that funny is I feel like there is almost no chance that Russell Wilson is the one who gets dealt, whereas I feel like the team that's kind of shunning everybody right now, there's way more than a puncher's chance that Deshaun Watson actually is the one that gets traded in this.
Yeah, it's. I didn't realize this, or at least I had forgotten it if I ever did know it, was there was a report that if Pat Mahomes had fallen to the Seahawks in 2017, they would have drafted Pat Mahomes.
Right.
That John Schneider was at Josh Allen's pro day, that they've never shied away from just openly saying, because Schneider, the GM, came from Green Bay, where their philosophy has always been like, yep, if a guy like Aaron Rodgers falls to you, you draft him. That's what you're going to do. So there are a couple different sides to that. And on the one hand, there's claims in this story that a lot of people think Pete Carroll has always coddled Russell Wilson. But on the other hand, it sounds like they haven't coddled him at all in terms of just openly examining and considering other quarterbacks.
Yeah. Remember the other deal that was rumored in 2018, where it was a rumor that they had a deal lined up with Cleveland for the number one overall pick in the draft to trade Russell Wilson there?
Yeah.
He has been a part of more rumors than your average franchise quarterback.
I think I'm torn on this because I had Paul Gallant on my podcast yesterday, because Gallant, for those of you that don't know, Paul Gallant is doing quite well for himself out in Seattle.
Yeah.
He does the morning show out there. They're on the flagship station. He does a weekly show with Pete Carroll. So I could sense it, and he'll openly admit, like, I like Pete Carroll. I'm kind of biased towards Pete Carroll. I think that I talked to Paul, and I don't want to say anti-Russell Wilson, but he's skeptical of all of this, and he's saying, look, they've done a lot for Russell Wilson. I tend to fall on the side of, I think I would side with Russell Wilson in terms of believing that, A, he hasn't had a genuinely respected offensive coordinator in a long time. Bevel and Schottenheimer. I mean, Schottenheimer got fired at Andrew. That's why I was so apoplectic when everybody acted like Schottenheimer should be interviewed for the Texans job. They haven't done a good job of keeping a good offensive line around him. But the problem with Russell Wilson is that everything he does publicly looks just too damn polished and too damn contrived that you never actually feel like you're getting the real Russell Wilson. And that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like with him raising these objections at the end of the season. It felt more like a PR stunt than an actual objection or him trying to make the team better.
If Seth, the four teams that Schefter brings up for Russell Wilson, where reportedly he would approve a trade to Dallas, New Orleans, Las Vegas, and Chicago, I don't think he's getting traded, period. I don't think he's getting traded to any of these teams. Should any of those four teams, though, be calling up the Seahawks with a Deshaun Watson proposed type trade for Russell Wilson?
If the Saints had any cap space whatsoever or any idea of how to move forward, then sure. But it's not going to happen. I mean, and Sean Payton makes the most sense. The Saints make the absolute most sense. And I can see why Russell Wilson's two heroes growing up were Derek Jeter and Drew Brees. Drew Brees, I think it's for obvious reasons. Drew Brees is a shorter quarterback, athletic, and played for Sean Payton, who is a master at working around Drew Brees' size. So one thing that the Saints do a much better job of than the Seahawks is just throwing on rhythm, kind of doing things where Drew Brees can throw the ball blind if he has to. I mean, there's shots of him making throws where he definitely can't see where the receiver is. He's up on his tippy toes and craning his neck. But everything's on rhythm and everything's precision. And I think that Russell Wilson feels like, okay, if I were to go there, it's not going to have to be me running around. It's going to be with a well-designed offense where, especially these last few years, the Saints have really spent on offensive linemen and trying to keep Drew Brees healthy and safe. But I don't think it's going to happen. Las Vegas, I think that's obviously a John Gruden play, that he must want to go play for John Gruden. I don't know why exactly. maybe he has fond memories from the – oh, you know what it is, Sean?
Hmm.
You know what? You remember what they tried to do when Gruden came back to the NFL? He stopped doing his Gruden QB camp.
Yeah.
And remember they tried like that Russell Wilson QB camp?
That's right.
For a year or two? I wonder if he spent a lot of time with Gruden kind of – in the transition of that. I wonder if Gruden on his way out spent a week with Russell Wilson showing him how to run the deal.
Did you ever watch a single episode of Russell Wilson's QB camp? Because I made Gruden's was must watch.
Yeah.
I loved Gruden's.
Yeah, Gruden's was awesome. I watched like 30 seconds of a YouTube clip.
Yeah.
And I thought the same thing, everything. I always think when I see Russell Wilson interacting with people, this is kind of awkward.
Yes, he's
I'm not buying this stuff.
He's super awkward. All right, so New Orleans makes sense. They don't have the cap situation to be able to do it. Las Vegas, that's a John Gruden play. Be careful what you wish for, maybe. Dallas, a Dak Prescott for Russell Wilson trade. I don't know which side would end up getting other stuff in the deal as well. Probably... Seattle, you know, Russ is a better quarterback than Dak, but Dak's a younger quarterback. You know?
Well, and that's where this is another one where, A, does he even care about the actual football, or is this all because he wants to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah.
And just think about the endorsement opportunities and the fame that I would achieve, and how Sierra would probably end up having the new Monday Night Football song if her husband played for the Dallas Cowboys.
But it would seem, though, there in Dallas, Seth, if part of Russell Wilson's issue is how he's used in Seattle, he's used more at the expense of them running the football and being conservative and risk averse, other than those 8 games where they let him cook this year. Couldn't you see him going to Dallas and Jerry Jones and company and Mike McCarthy kind of giving him much more free reign with that offense and all those weapons?
I think that, Jerry Jones' whole mentality is going to be, look, what do
Sizzle.
I do to put butts in the seats?
Yeah.
And, man, Russell Wilson is my quarterback with Amari Cooper and Zeke Elliott and whoever else we're going to spend on. CeeDee Lamb. I think he looks at the weaponry and he looks at the willingness of the owner to spend, which has never been an issue in Dallas. So that's probably a big part of it. Chicago's the one that was really curious. And somebody text in 713-572-4610. What is it about Chicago? Especially because remember, any of these teams are going to have to give up a whole bunch of draft capital and whatnot. So that Chicago defense, even though it's a good defense right now, and maybe that's what he's thinking. Maybe he's thinking, hey, I remember what it was like back in the day when I was a rookie and we had a good defense on the other side of me, how easy it made it. It's going to be hard to sustain that defense if you trade away 3 first-round picks and a whole bunch of other stuff.
I'll say this. As somebody who lived in Chicago for 3 years before I moved back to Houston in 2007, I think a couple reasons Chicago could make sense, and I'll add this, that a couple reasons Chicago could make sense for Deshaun Watson as well. I don't think Chicago makes sense for the Texans to deal with because they're not picking till like 20th in this draft. But Seattle probably isn't as hell-bent on getting a top-5 pick out of trading Russell Wilson as the Texans would be because the Texans just have a whole lot more rebuilding to do, and Deshaun is younger than Russell Wilson. But I think, Seth, the reason that Chicago would make sense for either of those guys, one is it's a big market. It's the third biggest city for now until Houston passes it. It's the third biggest city, and it is a major market. You know what I mean? Like, it's a major market. So for marketing reasons, I think Chicago could make sense. Number two, and this is something that I know acutely from living there, is that the Bears rule that city. In a sports-crazed city, the Bears rule that city, and they have never had a really good quarterback before. Like, even when they won the Super Bowl, it wasn't because of Jim McMahon, it was because of the defense. When they made it to a Super Bowl in 2006, it was because of the defense, not because of Rex Grossman. They have been a cursed franchise at the quarterback position. So Russell Wilson going there and giving them elite quarterback play and maybe taking them to a Super Bowl because of the quarterback, they would build a statue for him in Chicago. Seth, they have 3 different pregame and postgame shows on the radio on game day in Chicago that are all successful. That's how diehard they are about that sport in Chicago. He could be he could be a hero times what, you know, times whatever he is in Seattle. He would be exponential in Chicago if he took them there.
And that's another point that Gallant made, was that Russell talks a lot about legacy and all of that. Like, it's very important to him. The individual accolades seem very important to him. And I'm not saying that that's different or weird or wrong or anything, but I think he's reaching that NFL middle age where you realize you have a little bit of a midlife crisis where you realize, oh, wow, it doesn't look like things are changing, and what's my legacy going to be?
Yeah.
And maybe that – you're right. Maybe you can make up for lost time and win an MVP and be the best quarterback that ever played at Chicago if that's where he goes. And look, when Nagy was with Kansas City and they ran all that Andy Reid style stuff, it worked out really well. And I bet Russell Wilson is actually more imagining himself playing in that Kansas City offense when he thinks about going and playing for Matt Nagy in Chicago.
I'll add one more thing here, Seth, that maybe Tom Brady has pushed to the forefront for some of these elite quarterbacks. And we're talking about Russell Wilson, if you're just tuning in, Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610. We're talking about Russell Wilson and trade destinations. There could be something now to quarterbacks seeing the adulation Brady got, and Brady's adulation probably comes from the fact that there were 7 Super Bowl rings that he's gotten, but there may be something to wanting to win it in multiple places. You know, that Peyton Manning was able to win it in multiple places. Tom Brady was able to win a Super Bowl in multiple places. There could be part of Russell Wilson that feels like, I've accomplished everything I can accomplish in Seattle. You know, maybe now the challenge is to go to another city. He's saying he still wants to be a Seahawk, but I would approve trades to here, there, and hither and yon.
Is that one of the weirder statements you ever seen by an agent? Like, hey, look, we didn't ask for a trade. We just said these are what we'd be open to.
Right, right, right. Hey, babe, I'm married to you, but I do think these 4 are hot as hell.
Yeah.
Here are the ones I'd have a threesome with.
Hey, look, I'm not saying anything at all. I'm just saying if you want out, I'll land softly, all right? Don't worry about my feelings. I don't want it, but I'll be okay.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely strange. It would spice things up if Russell Wilson were in the mix. I think here's the encouraging thing: if you're a Texans fan that knows or feels in your bones deep down that the Texans are going to trade Deshaun Watson before the draft, I don't know that that's the case, but if you feel that that's the case, my concern would have been, Seth, oh, crap, here's another solution for teams that are looking for a quarterback. You want less supply of elite quarterbacks if you've got an elite quarterback out there on the trade market. There is almost no overlap with the teams that Russell Wilson is talking about and the teams that Deshaun Watson's camp are talking about. Wilson, it's Dallas, New Orleans, Vegas, Chicago. With Deshaun, I think the teams most often tied to Deshaun are the Jets, the Dolphins, the Panthers, the Broncos.
I think you're going to start finding is, because some people worry about, wow, boy, what's going on here? All these quarterbacks are just dictating when and where they want to play and when they want to leave the team that they're with. I think that while we're in this first round of that type of thinking, one thing we're realizing, Sean, you've been really good at pointing this out, is that Deshaun and Russell might not be able to find a destination that's considerably better than the one they're in right now.
Right.
The teams that want to trade for guys like them are not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think this is the Tom Brady dynamic is big here. Tom Brady left, went to a better situation, won a Super Bowl. But that is a unique situation. And honestly, if Tom Brady were, like, let's say at the same position in his career as Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, Tampa would have had to trade away a bunch of draft picks. They would have had to trade away perhaps one of those 2 really good wide receivers, one of their good defensive players, and then all of a sudden the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not the same team.
Yep.
That was a unique situation. Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson might find that, oh boy, as much as I'm PO'd here, maybe the best scenario for other guys looking at this next year, they might be like, wow, Deshaun ended up going to the Jets and they sucked too.
Yeah.
Maybe I better just really try to focus on figuring out a way to make this organization better.
See, we need to remind people of that, especially with the Jets, who are still mentioned as a team that Deshaun would go to. Seth, as late in the season as week 13 or 14, you could get a prop bet on will the Jets finish with no wins this year. No wins. They were on track to be an 0-16 team deep into the season, and they finally won a few games at the end of the year. But, man, man, man. All right.
J.J. Watt, by the way, in other free agency news, J.J. Watt continues his like completely innocent tweets that people just have fun interpreting as meaning something.
Yeah, yeah.
So he shot out a video of himself doing front squats, and he said, "Friday morning fun, almost lost it on the last rep. Bar was cutting off my oxygen," to which various people thought, for sure, he said cutting off his oxygen, low oxygen. Obviously, he's going to Denver.
Denver?
Yeah. Somebody else said, uh-oh, no oxygen. He's choking. He's going to Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Awesome. All right, we've been waiting for Deshaun to converse with the Texans. It appeared that happened. The outcome, predictable. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.